Let's just bow our heads now for the Word of God. Most glorious and awesome Father, we are just so grateful to you for having loved us beforehand. Even before you created everything, Lord, you had chosen us to be yours. You had chosen us, Lord, so that we were born to be saved and to taste and see of your gracious goodness toward us in all that Jesus did through his incarnation, to his crucifixion on the cross and his resurrection from the grave. And one day, Lord, for those whom you have gifted, Lord God, with repentance and faith, one day, Lord, we too would share in his glorification. What an honor it is, O Lord. What an honor it is for us to come before you, to worship you, to exalt you, Lord, both in our hearts and through our singing. And I lift up to you now, Lord, this message for your church here in Guiding Light for the new year 2023. I pray, Lord, that this preaching would continue to be an expository exaltation of who you are and of your glorious truth. Lord, use thy servant, let him decrease, that you alone might increase. And minister it to your children, Lord God. Let them take to heart whatever it is, Lord, that you would speak to them through your word today. And in all of this, be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise God. For our New Year's message, I will be dividing this teaching into two parts. So part one for today and part two for next Sunday. And so if you will not be here next Sunday, I hope and pray that you could listen to the recording, or if you're free to be able to watch the live streaming for next Sunday, you would. Again, I cannot overemphasize how messages for special occasions like New Year are very important, should be very important in your hearts and in your minds. Because the message for today should set us off into this new year of 2023. So for our New Year's message, I had chosen to preach from Psalm 92. I have not tackled this when we did a two-year series on a selection of a series on selected psalms a few years ago. So I did not tackle this psalm yet, but I pray that it would minister to you. And so I had entitled this message, "The Relevance of Thanking and Praising the Lord in the New Year." And so do allow me now to share with you why I feel this is so important for us. You see, truth of the matter, and I share my heart to you with regard to this in this statement, every time we celebrate yet another new year, I cannot help but be amazed at God's grace for having again spared the world from destruction through the outpouring of his wrath and judgment. When we think of everything that is happening today in the world, forget about the calamities for a while, forget about the pandemics for a while, but when we think about the global moral situation of the world today, I believe that we are at our worst as human beings at this time. At our worst ever since God created man. The rebellion against God's people, against Christ, against the written word of God is at an all-time high. And each year that passes, I sometimes wonder if this year would be the year when the judgment of God would come, if this year would be the year when Jesus would come to take his church to be with him forever. And that's why as we celebrate yet another year, yesterday, we did our devotions, and it was precious to me because my whole family was there. Even my three grandsons were so behaved in listening to me. I don't even know if they understood what I said or most of what I said. But after that devotion, we had a little, I don't know if you can call that Noche Buena of sorts. Then we went out for the fireworks displays that we would see from our place in Camp 7. And as we were waiting for 12 midnight, I was just saying in my heart to the Lord, Lord, it's amazing that you've given us yet another year as we were watching the fireworks. Why? Because, Lord, we really, really deserve your judgment. You really, really need to vindicate the holiness of your name in the way that the world has been treating you. And yet, eto na naman po kayo, Panginoon. Binigyan niyo na naman po kami ng isa pang taon. He has spared us once more. But let me say this. Right at the heels of that first statement. Yet this divine sparing does not in any way diminish or minimize the truth of God's soon coming judgment. And in fact, we will see this, we'll catch a glimpse of this later on in verse 7. And that is why I pray that we would not ever forget the prophetic warnings of both Paul and Peter. In 1 Timothy 4:1, 2 Timothy 3:1-7, 2 Timothy 4:3-4, and 2 Peter 3:1-13. We had looked at these passages quite a few times in the past. And in truth, all of these prophetic warnings are continually worsening and intensifying every year that passes. And I'll add to these the worsening natural events in the past years. And really, we are confronted with a year of ever-increasing uncertainty. Sa totoo lang po. And please do recall that the last three anniversary messages that the Lord had given to us all had to do with Christ's imminent return. And that doesn't change. We must be at our highest in terms of vigilance in our waiting for our Lord. We must be at our most serious in our pursuing godliness and holiness and righteousness in our lives. Because the coming of Christ just truly seems to be around the corner. And if you look at 2 Peter chapter 3, you might want to quickly open your Bibles there, though I will not be preaching from that. I believe that all the warnings, all the reminders of these things throughout these past years should be more than sufficient for us to keep vigilant, should be more than sufficient for us to be ready, not only in 2 Peter 3, verse 12, not only vigilant and ready in looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, but also in the next verse, verse 13, also in looking for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. I pray that we are continually getting ready, not only as these two verses tell us, not only as we await and look toward the coming of our Lord, but also in the following verse, in verse 13, looking forward to that time when we will be with the Lord in eternity, in the new heavens and the new earth. So there are two things we need to be anticipating and looking forward to. But as we once more enter a new year, I pray that we will all do so with a hopeful perspective. hopeful perspective, but I would like to qualify this. Hopeful not about the situation in the world, but hopeful about who we are, what we have, and what awaits us as God's children. Now, I cannot overemphasize this. Starting Saturday, I had begun to receive New Year's greetings from friends, from classmates and batchmates from school. And many of them were greeting the new year, hopeful that 2023 will be a better year for them, for the nation, for the world. Hopeful that 2023 would be the breakthrough year that would once more bring prosperity upon them. Ganun po yung napakarami pong greetings. But let me just say that I don't believe it would be so. Because when you look at Scripture, the situation will indeed be going from bad to worse. And there's so many things happening. You see, God does not celebrate New Year's. He does not celebrate the transitioning from one year to another. In fact, the concept of time to God is very alien to Him, at least in the way that we look at time. God sees and views things from the perspective of eternity. And the plan of God does not stop simply because there is a New Year celebration. It continues. It is being fulfilled, and it will fulfill His most holy purposes. And that's why our hopefulness should not be based on being hopeful about the situation in the world, but really hopeful about who we are. Excuse me. Who we are in Christ, what we have in Him, and what awaits us as God's children. Because even if, and this is basically the thesis or my theme for the study of Psalm 92, even though things will go from bad to worse, not just in 2023, if God allows it for us to celebrate another new year in 2024, even if things don't change or become worse for us, we remain hopeful because it is only those who are in Christ who have any real reason to be hopeful. Amen? Amen? And that is why our hope must be about who we are, what we have, and what awaits us as God's children. And it is my hope that our New Year's message will be used by God to accomplish this. And I would like for us to study Psalm from the Psalter, from the book of Psalms, and that is Psalm 92. So please just read the whole psalm with me. A psalm, a song for the Sabbath. Verse 1. It is good to give thanks to the Lord and sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness by night, with a 10-stringed lute and with a harp, with resounding music upon the lyre. For you, O Lord, have made me glad by what you have done. I will sing for joy at the work of your hands. How great are your works, O Lord! Your thoughts are very deep. A senseless man has no knowledge, nor does a stupid man understand this, that when the wicked sprouted up like grass and all who did iniquity flourish, it was only that they might be destroyed forevermore. But you, O Lord, are on high forever. For behold your enemies, O Lord, for behold your enemies will perish, and all who do iniquity will be scattered. But you have exalted my horn like that of the wild ox. I have been anointed with fresh oil, and my eye has looked exultantly upon my foes. My ears hear the evildoers who rise up against me. The righteous man will flourish like the palm tree. He will grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still yield fruit in old age. They shall be full of sap and very green. There's something triggering my cough. To declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and therefore there is no unrighteousness in him. Praise God. I think that that baby crying is my youngest grandson, right? Oh, thank you. There's something triggering my cough. Excuse me. Lord. Okay. Sorry about that. Okay. What a beautiful psalm. You see, Psalm 92 is considered one of the psalms of thanksgiving. There are many types of psalms. There are psalms of thanksgiving. There are psalms of lament. There are psalms of imprecation. And there are psalms of thanksgiving. There are several types of psalms, but Psalm 92 is considered one of the psalms of thanksgiving, which are like hymns, in that they focus on the praise of God. On the praise of God. But the difference is that the hymns focus on what God has done in the distant past, even as far as creation, or in redemptive history. When we say redemptive history, the history of God's plan of salvation unfolding. That's what hymns usually focus upon. While the Psalms of Thanksgiving, on the other hand, focus on what God has done in the recent personal history of the psalmist. So, in other words, the hymns have a more general or a greater scope in what they are worshiping God for. While Psalms of Thanksgiving, generally speaking, are psalms that exalt God for a recent deliverance, a recent blessing in the life of the psalmist. And so that's one way we can differentiate the two. And in particular, Psalms of Thanksgiving were written to celebrate those times when the Lord answered a prayer of lament. So they are used as worship to God after much lamenting over their situation. And there are psalms of lament all throughout the book of Psalms. And there are one or two psalms in which you would not even find a phrase or a verse of worship to God. It is all lamenting because of the heaviness of what the psalmist was carrying. But then when God moves to answer and to deliver, many times that results in a psalm of thanksgiving. Now, like the hymns, thanksgiving psalms usually have three sections, and we will see that when we begin to dive into Psalm 92. First, there is an opening section in which the psalmist shares his intention to give thanks. And then the next section, he now recalls that for which he is thanking God. Usually it is a recollection of trouble. He remembers that. And finally, the third part, usually in a thanksgiving psalm, is a renewal of thanksgiving. So the psalm opens with the intention to thank God, and then a remembering, a recollecting of the trouble that he had been in, and then finally thanking God again. Thanking God again. And Psalm 116 is one of the best examples of that kind of division. There are several other psalms like that. Now, although there are those who suggest authors like Moses and even Adam, I would concur with those who say that this psalm was possibly written by David. By David. And that's why throughout this preaching today and next Sunday, I will be referring to David as the writer of this psalm. In fact, if you would just go through these verses that I had listed here, no? In verse 3, the musical instruments. In verses 9 and 11, the number of enemies. And in verse 13, the mention of the house of the Lord and the courts of the Lord all best agree with his times, among other things. Kaya mukha talagang sinulat ni David yan. Wow, is this a drink offering? Thank you. Don't worry, this isn't coffee, it's just warm water. So again, no, the one way we can try to identify, because there are many, when you look at commentators, there are many suggestions as to who the psalm, who the author of the psalm was, because it's not given to us. We can actually find out and safely speculate as to who could have written this in this way. No, dito, kaya ako sinasabing David, kasi may musical instruments. Nung panahon ni Adam, wala pa. No? And then the number of enemies as well, and the mention of the house and the courts of the Lord, which was not around during Moses' time. Later on, it was only later on that the tabernacle, a temporary one at that, was built. But the house and courts of the Lord really refers to the Lord's temple. And so I believe this was written by David. Also, some say the Arabic version acknowledges David, that David as the author of this psalm. I was surprised. I did not know that there was an Arabic version of the psalms. Now, though I will be using the NAS Bible translation, the New American Standard Bible translation, I have chosen the stanza divisions of the ESV, the English Standard Version, which has three stanzas in dividing Psalm 92, instead of the NASB's four stanzas, because I believe that the stanza divisions of the ESV makes more sense. But I will be using the NASB translation. And the way the psalm is divided, how many of you are using the ESV? I just want to see. How many of you are using the ESV? And the way the psalm is divided in the ESV expresses to us the relevance of thanking and praising the Lord, especially as we now enter the threshold of another year. Kaya po ako nagagandahan doon sa stanza divisions ng ESV, which has four divisions instead of three of the NAS, is because it expresses to us that relevance of thanking and praising the Lord. Lalong-lalo na po dito po sa bagong taon. So, you don't need to take this down, but I just want to show you the flow of what we will be studying today and next Sunday. I divided this preaching into four parts, verses 1 to 4, which we will be looking at today. How appropriate to thank and praise the Lord. How appropriate to thank and praise the Lord. And then in verses 5 to 9, how appropriate to acknowledge His works. And then in verses 10 to 11, how appropriate to remember His deeds in your life. And then in verses 12 to 15, how appropriate to delight in righteousness. Now, when you look at that word appropriate, it can mean how good, how right it is to do these things. And here you will see that the first part has to do with who God is. The second part has to do with the work of His hands. The third part has to do with what He has done in your life personally. So from something more general to something more specific and focused. And the fourth part gives us really the principle behind the first 11 verses for why God does these things. And I would like us to see that as well. Of course, those will be handled by next week. So today, let's just take a look at the first part. How appropriate to thank and praise the Lord as we enter into the new year. So please read with me now Psalm 92, verses 1 to 4. And I pray that you will read that even with a heart of worship. A psalm, a song for the Sabbath. It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness by night, with a 10-stringed lute and with a harp, with resounding music upon the lyre. For you, O Lord, have made me glad by what you have done. I will sing for joy at the works of your hands. Now, first of all, the psalmist begins the psalm with this superscription. What is this? What is a superscription? This is that sort of note that you find at the beginning of the psalm. This is not the title that the translators give the psalm, but this is really included in the original psalm. And here we will find this superscription: a psalm, a song for the Sabbath. So here it is very clear. This psalm, therefore, was meant to be sung on the Jewish Sabbath. This is really a worship psalm for the people of Israel when they come together to worship God. But I see in this superscription, brethren, the perfect appropriateness of this psalm for our service today. Not only because today is the Christian Sabbath Sunday, but also because today is the first Sunday, not only of January, but also of the new year 2023. Amen? And that's why when I was looking at this psalm, I saw, at least in the superscription, how appropriate this psalm was. As early as the beginning of December, I was already asking the Lord, Lord, wala pa po akong New Year's message. And so I just kept at my regular devotions to the Lord and waiting for the Lord to just reveal what this message would be. And finally, when I got to Psalm 92, again, this superscription ministered to me in this way. Bagay na bagay po sa atin. Amen? Not just because it's a Sunday, but because it is the first Sunday of a new year. Now, to appreciate the psalm, we need to see the possible troubling situation the psalmist was remembering. And that's why, if you take a quick peep at verses 5 to 11, we see that it had to do with the enemies of David, who, by the way, were also God's enemies, according to verse 9. And these enemies of David were rising up against him, as he later on testifies in verse 11. So it had to do with them and with God delivering David from their hands. And so in the first stanza in verses 1 to 4, David opens the psalm with a declaration in verse 1. Read that now with me. It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High. It is good. I love that phrase. You see, the word good, brethren, not only means something that is pleasurable. It does not only mean something that is agreeable or pleasant. It also means something that is excellent, something that is valuable, something with a benefit, something that is right. So we could actually say, it is right to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to His name. It is a benefit, it is a blessing to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to His name. It is valuable to give thanks to the Lord. Now again, this is a declaration, but let me just add this as well. Because precisely it is good. Moreover then, although this is a statement of declaration, the phrase, it is good too, I believe lends to this declaration an implication of a call, of a command. Now when you look at this statement, this is not a command in itself. It is a declaration. It is good. But precisely because it is good, then we must do it. Amen? And that's why I believe that there is an implication of a command. Don't just read it and say, oh yeah, 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 it is good, it is good. No, this is actually a command. Utos po ito ng Panginoon na tayo po'y maging mapasalamat. Utos po ito ng ating Panginoon na tayo po'y patuloy na umawit ng papuri sa Kanya. It is good. So the question is, what is good? What is good? Now, first of all, it is good to give thanks to the Lord Most High. Notice that I skipped a few phrases, or at least a phrase, and extended it to the Most High. And this tells us something here, right? Thanksgiving must be given to the Lord because He is the Most High. And so with the singing of praises, because He is the Most High. In fact, when you look at your translations, the word Lord there is in the small capitals, right? And at least in the NAS Bible, that signifies that in the Hebrew, that is the Lord's personal name, Yahweh. It is good to give thanks to Yahweh. The I am who I am, when Moses asked, who shall I say sent me? The I am who I am. So if only for this reason, brethren, and we stop here, this is more than sufficient reason for us to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to His name, simply because He is the Most High God, the Creator and Sustainer of all things. He is the source of all life. And the reason that we are here existing upon this earth is because of Him. He created us. And if not for anything else, that is more than sufficient reason to give thanks to Him and to sing praises to Him. Dinahot natin kailangan maghanapan ng napakadami pang dahilan. But just simply remembering who He is. He is the Lord Yahweh, the Most High God. And really, this is very important for the psalmist David, because here, this implies that there is none greater nor higher than He. He's the most exalted one. He's the most elevated one. He's the highest in rank, especially in comparison to the false deities of Israel's pagan neighbors. In the time of David, that's how the pagan neighbors looked at their gods. They were gods of territories. Either they were gods of the sea or gods of the sky or gods of the field or gods of the harvest, for example. Iba-iba po. But here David was stressing, my God is the Most High God. He is higher than all your gods, which are false and dead gods. There's only one, and there can only be one, and it is the Lord Most High. We must not forget this, brethren, because this God of David, who is the God Most High, is the same God that you worship. It is the same God who has saved you. It is the same God who sustains you every day, and He sustained you every moment of 2022, and you can count on Him and rest on Him and rely on Him for 2023. Amen? Because He's a God who remains to be the Most High. No matter how much the world today is trying to trample on who He is, on His name, and on His truth, and on His Messiah, nothing will change this fact. And then in the context of the psalm, the giving of thanks had to do with what God had done. If you look at verse 4, it says, "For you have made me glad by what you have done. I will sing for joy at the works of your hands." When you look at verses 10 to 11, "You have exalted my horn like that of the wild ox. I have been anointed with fresh oil, and my eye has looked exultantly upon my foes. My ears hear of the evildoers who rise up against me." So that's what this psalm is all about. Now let me just say, brethren, because this is important, based on the context of this psalm, that's what happens when you get distracted. Ayan na po. Okay. Based on the circumstances of the psalmist, it is always good then to give thanks to the Lord in all circumstances. You know this. I have repeated this and preached this to you so many times in the past. It is always good to give thanks to the Lord. Please add the word too. Thank you for being patient with me. In all circumstances. Not only in the good, but also in the bad. And some of you who are here, who may have greeted you a happy new year, may not be in a very good situation, and yet, by faith, they are greeting you a happy and blessed new year. And whoever that person might be, earlier they were worshiping God anyway. And I trust thanking God as well for who God is in their lives. It is always good to give thanks to the Lord in all circumstances. Brethren, no matter how dark the circumstances we might find ourselves in, sometime in 2023, there is always, always, always something to thank God for. Amen? Always. We just need to open our eyes. We need to go beyond even what we see and begin to look at the situation with spiritual eyes. If you are a child of God, whatever tribulation you might be going through is not for nothing. God, in His great and perfect love for you, God, in His exalted wisdom, is always doing something in your life as He sanctifies you every moment in every breath of your life here on earth, transforming you in the image and likeness of Christ. No situation, no circumstance in your life, no experience in your life is wasted, not from the perspective of God. Amen? You may have made a mistake. You may have made a disastrous decision. But God is sovereign even over that. And He is using that for your sanctification. And you might find yourself in the darkest corner of the darkest dungeon somewhere. And you will still and must still find reason to thank God for. Amen? Kung mawala ka ng maisip na dahilan upang magpasalamat sa Panginoon, if you somehow find yourself groping for some reason to thank God for, maybe because your situation is so dark, then thank Him for your salvation. Thank Him that if in case you die because of the direness of your situation, you will open your eyes not just to eternity, but to your Savior, who personally will welcome you into heaven. It's not Saint Peter who will welcome you holding a pangsabong in his arm. It is God. That's why Paul said, "For to me to live is Christ and to die is gain." And that's one reason why. That's one reason why. Secondly, what is good? It is good to sing praises to your name, O Most High. And here we are told that it is always good to extol and exalt the character of our Most High God. That is what the word name means. The name of God says something about God, says something about God's character. And that's what it means. I exalt your holy name. It's not just the name Yahweh, but what that name stands for. And so I believe that what this refers to is the extolling and the exalting of the character of our Most High God. And I'm very deliberate in using both the word extol and exalt, because though they might sound similar, there is a difference between them. You see, to extol is to praise, is not just to give praise, it's not just to worship, but to do it very enthusiastically. Sobrang ganado. To go into raptures over worshiping the Lord. Kumbaga, for lack of a better term, when you worship the Lord, you feel the spiritual high. It means to heap praise on. Not just praise Him, but to heap praise upon praise upon praise. It means to express delight over. Sobrang ganda. You're gushing over the praising of your God. You just get lost and enraptured in your praise of God. That is what the word extol means. To exalt means to glorify. It means to pay homage to. It means to pay tribute to revere, to give reverence to worship, to hold high in regard, to hold high in esteem, to hold in awe. So I believe that the word extol talks more of the emotions that go with the exaltation of God. Because we can exalt God even in our pain. And do it with a heavy heart. Lord, I'm hurting because of what has happened, but I praise You. I thank You. And you might mean that in your whole heart, and you are exalting God, but to extol Him is to get lost and enraptured in your worshiping and praising of God, so that whatever it is that is surrounding you disappears from sight, and God suddenly is magnified before you, so that the things of earth grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace, as the hymn goes, right? Praise God. Now, why is this? Why are we to extol and exalt the character of God? This is because regardless of what our situation in this life might be, the character of God never changes. Amen? It never changes. Our situations change. You might be prosperous today, but tomorrow you can lose everything. You might be very healthy today, and then suddenly tomorrow or next week you were diagnosed with a very serious ailment, and suddenly everything changes. You are so happy that you are with your loved ones today, not knowing that maybe, God forbid, but maybe one of our most loved ones he will take home to be with him sooner than we possibly may have anticipated. Many things can change. Even our devotion to God can change. And honestly, our love for God has never been truly steady if we are going to be humble and honest before the Lord. Amen? As you've heard me say many times, one of the most often broken command of the Lord is the command that he had given in passages like in Matthew 22 when he says, you shall love the Lord with all your heart, with all your strength, with all your soul, with all your mind. All. The problem with that verse is the word all. It is rarely true that we love him with all. We love him much, yes, but all, our sinfulness somehow gets in the way. So that even our love and devotion change. But not God. We can continue to extol him, to sing praises to him, because he does not change. You can be in the worst situation, but your God has not changed. His love for you has not changed. His choosing of you has not changed. His promises for you will never change. And his plan for you one day in eternity will be there forever. Amen po ba? And I want us to enter into this new year with that understanding. Because of the greatness of the uncertainty of yet another year. Oh, brethren, there are so many far more serious things that are happening that do not come out in mainstream news media today. Magkakagulatan po sa mundo. But thank God, he never changes. Thirdly, what is good? It is good to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness by night. So here, David specifically points to two attributes of God he would often cite in his Psalms: God's loving kindness and God's faithfulness. There's a little difference between the two. Well, really, not that little. You see, when you talk about these two attributes, brethren, these are things for which he thanks God for. So he is thanking God also because of these two attributes, which are expressed later on in the things that God had done for him. So again, no? This is so important, brethren, because many times we find ourselves thanking God more for what he has done than for who he is, right? I believe here the psalm is trying to teach us something. Begin first with the character of God, because that doesn't change. Be focused on the character of God. Stop thinking first of what he has done for you. You can do that later on. Because there will be times in your life when it feels like nothing is happening. When it feels like God seems to be on a break. Where is he in my life? It might feel that way. And your emotions might deceive you to think that way, but the truth of the matter is the opposite. Amen po ba? That's why it's always good to start with the character of God. And that's why the things for which he thanks God for, what God has done for him, are because of these two attributes: his loving kindness and his faithfulness. You see, God's loving kindness, that word in the Hebrew is the word chesed, a word which refers to not only God's love, but all his kindness as well, all his favor, all his mercy. That is such a full word. In fact, some versions translate that word chesed not only as loving kindness, but God's steadfast love. It is a love that is steadfast. It doesn't change. It is never shaken. Hindi nayayanig. Hindi nadidiskaril. It doesn't change. And it's not just love, but kindness and favor and mercy. Wow, beautiful. Can you imagine that? His loving kindness, this, is upon you always. Amen? And then, the second attribute is God's faithfulness. Now, this is a word which refers to God's steadfastness. And that's why when you combine this word with the first word, it's like a double emphasis. We give thanks and sing praises to him because of his faithful, steadfast love. He had to use two words to describe and to emphasize this. And God's faithfulness refers to his steadfastness. Pag sinabi natin steadfast, hindi natitinag, hindi nayayanig. It's never derailed. It's always the same. It speaks of his moral fidelity. God is faithful, loyal. His faithfulness talks about the stability of his love, the stability of his purposes for you. It speaks of being true, being true. And that's why sometimes that word is translated truth, truth. Praise God for his loving kindness and his truth. You will find that in some Psalms. But that word truth really is the same word that is here translated as faithfulness. And then the words, his faithfulness in the morning, or his loving kindness in the morning and his faithfulness by night. The words in the morning and by night, I believe, are a poetic way of saying the whole day. I praise God and thank God for his love, loving kindness and faithfulness the whole day, which also figuratively means always or never ceasing. I praise God for his loving kindness and his faithfulness that never cease, that are always toward me, that are always poured upon me, even when you do not feel it. The experience of God's loving kindness and faith is often by faith, not just by experience. Because there might be times, or there will be times, when sometimes you might find yourself asking, Lord, akala ko ba mahal mo ako? Lord, I thought you loved me. Then why did you do this? Or why did you even allow this, Lord? And your emotions are deceived into thinking that this has changed. But here we are told that we are to declare, we are to testify, and many times even just to ourselves, say it loud, that God loves you and that God is faithful to you throughout the day or always or never ceasing. Declare it first to yourself and then testify it to others. And sometimes, friend, you will have to do that loud enough for you to hear. Many times I've preached to myself loudly, enough for me to hear. Sometimes not enough for me to read. Sometimes I need to hear what I read. And brethren, such is God's love toward us, which began in His electing us before the foundation of the world, which climaxed in His death and resurrection, and which will culminate in our glorification with Him and in Him. That's ours. And no devil could ever take that away from us. No legions of demons could ever change the truth of that. Because it's not about us, it's about God. Amen? Amen po ba? Praise God. And then we continue. Verse 3. Oops, sorry. Verse 3 points to the Sabbath celebration. Really, when you read verse 3 with a 10-stringed lute and with a harp with resounding music upon the lyre, it points to the Sabbath celebration as the giving of thanks and the singing of praises were to be done with music. With music. And that's why this is one of those verses here in the psalm that really points to us na talagang pang Sabbath ito, because this was sung. This was not recited. This was sung. And then finally in verse 4, we are given the general reason for verses 1 to 3 and in fact even the whole psalm. Let's read verse 4. For you, O Lord, have made me glad by what you have done. I will sing for joy at the works of your hands. There you have the general reason for verses 1 to 3 and really the whole psalm. And so here David expresses glad thanksgiving and joyful praising for what God had done for him. Again, very intentional in the use of these words. I did not only say thanksgiving, but glad thanksgiving. I did not only say praising, but joyful praising for what God had done for him. There are many Christians today who are against emotionalism. And I believe that we should be against emotionalism, but not emotions. Because joy is an emotion. Gladness is an emotion. And we are to approach the presence of God with gladness. We are to serve Him with gladness. Psalm 100. We are to enter His courts with praise, and we can presume that that is joyful praise. None of you entered here as if you were entering a funeral parlor this morning, right? So that the first thing that people would say to you as they look at your face, condolence in the new year. No. Our greeters greeted you, Happy New Year. You should have seen how joyful you were when you were greeting one another. And you see, when we begin to understand this, we should not be driven by emotions, but truth must drive our emotions as well. And we are looking at the truth of who God is. We are remembering the truth of what He has done in our lives. And that should motivate our emotions so that our thanksgiving, in spite of our situations, might always be glad and our praising must always be joyful. Notice I did not say happy praising. I said joyful praising. I believe there's a difference. Happiness has to do with our external circumstances, but joy is something else. Joy is something that wells up from within our hearts because we have the Spirit of Christ in us. It is something that nothing in the outside could change. Nothing in the outside could change. And so here David was expressing this. And I would like to end our message for today in this section with a quote from Matthew Henry, the Puritan. In singing this song, we must take pleasure in giving to God first the glory to His name. And then, in singing this psalm, we must triumph in His works. I love that. So when you say triumph, there is this sense of victory because of what God has done. There is a sense of joyful, triumphant praising because of what He has done. And as I imagine this, sometimes I would imagine myself in a dark dungeon, having kept there for so long, having lost hope of ever leaving that dungeon, which is, by the way, the story of many martyrs in the history of the church, and then finding myself saying, Lord, they took away my freedom, they've taken away my possessions and my family, but they can never take You away from me, and therefore I rejoice in thanking You, and I rejoice in praising You and worshiping You. Amen? Oh, this psalm gets even more exciting, brethren. But I would like to leave this with you. As we enter into the new year, it is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises for His name. Because of His loving kindness in the morning and His faithfulness at night. And for all that You have done, Lord, in our lives. That's how we enter into 2023. Forget about the forecasts of this year. Because those forecasts can change. No matter how bad they might sound, they can change. Or no matter how good they might sound, they can change. But not your God and my God. Amen? Before I close in prayer and worship, I would like you all now to do this. Please remain seated. Like we do on Sundays, I want you to find a partner, not your husband, your wife, not your children, not your parents, not your kapatid, and just share one thing. Listen, one thing that you can thank God for as you enter into 2023. Okay? Doesn't matter, you can be female and the male, no problem. You're just going to be sharing that. This is not a time to share prayer requests. Pakipag-pray nga yung bayad ng upa ko bukas. No, this is not that time. This is a time to say, you know what? As I enter into 2023, I want to thank God for this. Amen? Huh? So, please, I'd like you now to rise. No? Look for someone who is not your earthly family. Don't worry if you don't know that person. This is a beautiful opportunity to introduce yourself. Okay. Wrap up na po tayo. And if you're done, I'd like to ask you please to go back to your places. Di pa tayo tapos. We will still be closing. Can everyone please stand? Can everyone please stand? Let's bow our heads. Bow our hearts before God. Oh Lord God, once more, I trust, Lord, that You had magnified Yourself before Your people I trust, Lord, that you had reminded us first of all of who you are, even without us, and who you are in our lives, and that you are the God who has done great things in our lives. One day, Lord, this rebellious world will bow its knee to you, acknowledging who you are. In that day, Lord, you would have vindicated your holiness, your majesty, and your greatness as the one and only true God who is both creator and sustainer of all things. The God had chosen to love us before time, and at the appropriate time, Lord God, gave us both repentance and faith to believe in what Jesus did on the cross for us. Thank you, Lord God. Let's just sing that last song we had sung earlier. There is a higher throne. Let's believe this with all our hearts. There is a higher throne than all this world has known, where faithful ones from every side will one day come. Before the sun will stand. Before the sun.
And thank you, Lord, that you are our God, our Lord and our Savior, who loves us with a steadfast love, and who will forever be faithful in spite of us. Oh Lord, we stand here privileged, Lord, to once more have been given yet another year as a church, as individual children of God. And I pray, Father, that we would continue to honor you and please your heart with the way, Lord, that we will confront this coming year with all that is happening in the world today. We pray that as a church, we would always help each other keep ready and steadfast. We would help our families, our children, to remain faithful to you. And we trust, Lord, that you would each and every day deepen our love and devotion to you, Lord God, establishing us both in the faith and in your truth. I pray blessing to be upon this church. I pray blessing, Lord God, upon each and every family represented in this church. For those who are watching, and especially for those who are here today, Lord, may you be pleased with your people always as we strive to live for your glory and honor and for the pleasure of your heart. We love you, Lord, as we celebrate the rest of this day with our loved ones. Father God, may we do so keeping who you are ever before us. We love you, Lord, and we entrust to you our lives, our families, in this new year 2023. Be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. God bless you, po. Happy New Year. Please greet one another with the Lord's love. And God bless you.